It's nice to be with you today. As Casey introduced me previous to the service, I'm Dave Monaco, head of school, parish episcopal. I see familiar faces in our midst, present grandparents, former board members, vestry members with whom we've worked closely in the past. We're glad to be with you this morning on this Episcopal School Sunday. As Casey made mention, this Episcopal School Sunday is celebrated, if not today, then throughout the month of October across the country. Communities like those of the Fig and Parish come together in gratitude and celebration for the Episcopal schools and the education they afford. One grounded in faith, characterized by inclusivity, and deeply committed to service. Now, I'm especially honored, I think only the second time in my 11 years at Parish, to have the pulpit, your pulpit, on this Episcopal School Sunday. Father Casey handed me the keys and offered me this opportunity, for which I am grateful, acknowledging fully that it is always a risk to welcome a Catholic to the Episcopal School and Church pulpit. But I promise you should fear not. I have great respect for Father Casey as a spiritual leader, thinker, and speaker. Ironically, I am a member of St. Rita. Our pastor there, Father Joshua Whitfield, is also one I deeply admire. You may know he is a former Episcopal priest, turned now Catholic pastor and father of four. Always interesting conversation in our Catholic community. But rest assured, over the next few minutes, my primary aspiration for us is not your conversion, simply our mutual reflection as we think about the Fig and its educational ministry, now nearly five decades old, Parish Episcopal School. These two vibrant institutions, at once healthily independent and wonderfully interwoven. Today's scripture, and in fact today's psalm, offered to me helpful context for our reflection. When Casey sent me the lectionary a few weeks ago, Psalm 84 caught my eye. Unusual as it is, when also afforded rich texts like those from Sirach and Luke that offer worthwhile content for Episcopal School Sunday. Sirach and Luke asking us as a community to check our self-righteousness and commitment to service. But it was the psalm that I chose to move toward. Biblical scholars, of course, give us many different concepts on who authored these words, whether it was David or others. But these words written by the psalmist were deeply inspiring to me. The awe-inspired adoration that Joel just mirrored for us in his words a few moments ago. How dear is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts! My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord, the author extolled. Here in this dwelling, we are told, the sparrow finds a house and the swallow a nest in which to lay her young. Here in this dwelling, people find happiness, are moved to praise, and instilled with strength. Here in this dwelling, the living God is revealed. You may ask why this head of school, not a religious or a preacher, was so inspired by these words. Why did they resonate so? Let me explain their harmony. They are words I've written and spoken in the Parish Episcopal School community since August. In each of my 11 years as head of school, I've selected a theme, usually a word or a short phrase, a lens of sorts, if you will, for our constituents to look through together. And this year's theme, belonging. With students and faculty and staff, parents, I've been musing on questions related to the belonging theme. One such as, where has your authentic you found its fit? What attributes draw people to a community? And what rewards do they discover upon finding belonging there? How do communities like ours, your church, my school, our church school community, how do we balance honoring the individual authentic presences that show up on our campuses each day and holding fast to the common values that define our place. Perhaps now you can understand the resonance I experienced. Whether David authored these words or another, whether the temple was the Mount or the Temple of Solomon in Jerusalem, these can be debated. What cannot, what is inarguable in today's psalm is that it speaks to belonging. Some consider this verse to offer the poetic perspective of a pilgrim approaching the temple in the city on a hill with excitement and awe. The pilgrim pines to be at this place. Quote, "My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord." But why? What makes the temple different and more deeply appealing to the sojourner than any other place? What transformation of his self-identity does the pilgrim anticipate the visit to the temple will spur? Apropos to our thinking about church and school, the Fig and Parish Episcopal, consider this. Is what fuels the pilgrim's excitement the temple itself, or the who and what he will find in this dwelling? It is, we learn in the verse, the Lord of hosts and those made happy living in God's real presence who ignite the pilgrim's deep longing to belong there. But as we consider the pilgrim's motives, my friends, we who steward this church community and care for its school community, we should be asking ourselves regularly, what is it about our places that people are drawn to? What makes the heart and flesh of those who belong to us or who seek to belong to us rejoice at the prospect of coming to us? In short, what makes us different? While many attributes come to mind, today on Episcopal School Sunday, I'd like to offer you two that I think do that. We, the Fig and Parish, are two institutions from the same strand of organizational DNA. We are of each other, symbiotic and at the same time mutually reflective. It should not surprise us then to find a source of our appeal to those who come to us in our respective mission and vision statements. Several years ago, I helped draft our present mission statement at Parish, one that extols our community as a, quote, inclusive Episcopal community. What I did not know at the time and should have, but knew intuitively through my experience with this place, was that the church's vision statement used nearly identical language to our new mission statement phraseology, referring to the Fig as, quote, an inclusive community of disciples. Returning to the psalm, the living God of hosts made space in the temple for the sparrows and the swallows, the weary travelers, and those seeking renewal. Similarly, our church and school communities have forged reputations as places of radical hospitality and committed service. Let us recommit today to align our actions with our words and be beacons of inclusive love, friends and strangers alike. But equally compelling to me was this question, what is it when friends and strangers come to us, when pilgrims arrive at our doorsteps and remain in our midst for our time, what is it that they derive in the form of a benefit? Well, our verse today tells us how those who dwelt in God's house and invested their strength in Him felt. Happy are those who find dwelling. I would suggest that those who find belonging at the Fig and at Parish feel the same way. Happy. Now, I have over the last decade given innumerable tours on our two campuses to visitors of different walks of life, and I cannot tell you how many times individuals have said to me as we've concluded such a tour and they've stumbled for words to try to capture their first experience with us, something akin to, everyone seems happy. I have struggled with this adjective to describe us, often suggesting that one cannot brand an expensive college preparatory school on the word happy. But on deeper reflection, perhaps I was mistaken. Maybe what was needed was a more nuanced understanding of what was meant by happy. In his incredible book, Dark Horse, Achieving Success Through the Pursuit of Fulfillment, author Todd Rose helped evolve my thinking around the word happy. Rose is a Harvard professor, one of the leading thinkers in the new science of individuality. And in his book, he explores the inclusion of the word happiness in the Founding Fathers' list of the big three inalienable rights: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We talk often, you know, of life and its sanctity. We speak frequently of liberty and its free expressions and threats to it. But what of happiness? Founders, Rose explained, did not associate happiness with merriment or pleasure as we do, sometimes dismissively in today's hard-charging dog-eat-dog world. Instead, Enlightenment thinkers clung more closely to the word's original derivation from the noun hap, which meant an event or situation. Thus, in its adjectival form, its descriptive form, happy referred to something fit to a particular event. Happiness, then, was not a wishy-washy feeling or superficial state of mind. For Enlightenment thinkers like George Mason, publisher of the Virginia Declaration of Rights, he noted that, quote, a person achieved happiness when his condition fit his character, talent, and abilities. You see, happiness, be it found in a temple, a school, or a church, flowed and flows from belonging. At Parish in the Fig, members find their fit and as a result experience happiness. On our campuses, young and old alike discover programs and stewardship endeavors that extend to them opportunities to grow and to give. At our best, our places are wellsprings of fulfillment. Speaking strictly for me, I know that is why I arrive to work here each day, feeling happy. A prayer we can offer then on this Episcopal School Sunday is that both the Fig and the school it birthed, Parish, continue to be beacons that beckon people to them, as the living God called the psalmist to the temple. May we cultivate cultures where people feel deep connection, born of being recognized and known and honored for who they are. And as God's people found in the temple, may pilgrims find our places of worship and learning to be reservoirs of happiness and fortitude. For we know that fortified by this fulfillment, our disciples will turn and direct their gifts in service to the common good. Amen.